Now, currently in our college term, we are going through the book of Acts in our exegesis class, and the Reverend Mercer's teaching us in that class. And one of our requirements is to read through the book of Acts twice before the summertime. So I was doing my readings in the book of Acts a week or two ago, and this verse jumped out at me. And I was struck by the words of it, and so the Lord implanted it upon my heart, and I didn't think I would be here today preaching it, but here I am. And with the Lord's help, we want to consider what this verse is teaching us and what we can learn from it, and even particular to yourselves here in Enniskillen as you would embark on a gospel mission in a few weeks' time, even for God's servant here as he labours week by week, and our sister as she labours among the boys and girls as well. Some things we can draw out of this verse as an encouragement and even a prayer for our own hearts. Now, if we were to take time, but we'd not go into this morning, the first 18 verses of Acts chapter 11 concern the Apostle Peter, and he was defending his meeting with Cornelius to the church leaders that were there in Jerusalem. In the second part, verses 19 to the verse 30, we have the construction or the establishment of the church there at Antioch. Now, we're told that there was a persecution that had come upon the church at that time, and the disciples were scattered abroad because of the persecution. Now, surely you might ask the question, well then, why was God allowing this persecution to take place? Why was the Lord allowing his church, even in its infancy, to be scattered abroad? His people that were assembled there in the one place, but with this persecution, it forced them to spread out and to take the gospel to their further regions. And sometimes, brethren and sisters, we can question, why is this happening to me? Why am I going through this difficulty, this trial? And we do not understand. And sometimes we can even get to the point of questioning and doubting God. Yet, brethren and sisters, this morning, be encouraged, because God is sovereign. And our Lord, he is in control of every circumstance and every situation of your life and of mine. He knows all about it, and he has a purpose for it, even though we may not see it at the time. For the church leaders were there assembled in Jerusalem. But the purpose of the persecution, the devil had it to disrupt the work of God. But the Lord used it for the furtherance of the gospel. Just like Joseph, how Joseph was sold into slavery. But yet the Lord used it for his glory. The Lord used his servant Joseph in Egypt. And so many thousands of people were saved through the Lord having his servant there in Egypt. And for the church leaders, they were assembled in the one place in Jerusalem, and the disciples were there seeking to reach out only to the Jews. But the Lord had commanded in his word that all of the earth would be blessed with the preaching of his word. And with this persecution, it enabled the gospel to reach places like Samaria, Caesarea, Joppa, Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. Now, what were they to do when they were scattered? Well, in Acts chapter 11, the verse 19, it tells us they were there. They went to preach the word, preaching the word. And also in Acts chapter 8, in the verse 4, it says, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. Now, this word preaching in Acts chapter 8 simply means to gossip the gospel. Gossip the gospel. So once they got the disciples, they were scattered abroad. They were gossiping the gospel to those whom they met, wherever they met different people. You see, the devil thought he would stop the growth of the church by using persecution, but God has the final say, and God had overruled the devil's plans. And God cannot be stopped, and he will not be hindered. None can stay the hand of the Lord. And I trust, brethren and sisters, that this will be an encouragement to you as the outreach team will go out this week to knock doors and to invite people to the gospel mission coming up. And I trust as a church that you're praying that the Lord would come down, not only to Fermanagh, but to our nation, to our province that is in such a desperate state today. But the Lord we serve is the same God that established the church at Antioch, but also the one that in eternity past purposed to save a people for himself. So I want to consider with you this morning the kind of preaching we need today. The kind of preaching we need today. And it is a preaching which brings success, not for the preacher, but for the message of the gospel and for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when the Lord blesses, there is always success. I want you to notice firstly with me this morning the power accompanying the preaching. The power accompanying the preaching. Verse 21 there of Acts chapter 11, it says, "And the hand of the Lord was with them." And brethren and sisters, this morning, this is what I want you to notice. This is the great need of our day. This is the great need. Because there are many places, and they have departed from preaching the Word of God. And praise God, we're in a denomination that believes in the Word of God wholeheartedly. And a denomination that will not seek to depart from the Word of God or to deviate one iota from the Word of God. This is the desire of this preacher here today. And I know it will be the desire of your minister here and every minister in our denomination and even my fellow students here today, that the Word of God, wherever it goes forth faithfully, it would be attended with the power and the hand of the Lord upon it. You see, the book of Acts is the record of how the Lord established His church through His servants, the disciples, by the power of the Spirit of God. And throughout this book, we see that it's ordinary people like you and me that the Lord uses. But the difference is they were people that were filled with the Spirit of God. And my dear friend, that's a great truth that we must realize. Because without the Lord, we can do nothing. Without the Lord, we're nobodies. We're nothing but sinners saved by grace. But you know, I love that verse. You can turn with me in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. There's a verse that really encouraged me in my first year in college. 1 Corinthians chapter 21 and the verse 27. 1 Corinthians 1, 27. And it says, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence." And brethren and sisters here today, no matter what we're doing for the Lord, we need the hand of the Lord to be upon it. Whether it's our brother here ministering in the pulpit, or whether it's yourself in the children's meetings, the Sunday school, or going out in the doors or the open airs, or brother going down south to outreach to the people down south, whatever it is we do for the Lord, we need the Lord's help and we need the Lord's presence. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ told us, "Without me, you can do nothing." And brethren and sisters, we need to get to that point when we realize, without the Lord, we labor in vain. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. And we thank God that Christ said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now in verse 21 there of Acts chapter 11, it says there, "And the hand of the Lord was with them." Now we know that the Lord is a spirit, and the Lord Jesus Christ told us this in John 4 and 24 when He was speaking to the woman at the well. But this term, hand of the Lord, simply, it is what the theologians would term an anthropomorphism. And that is simply referring to God by the means of human characteristics. So that we can have a better understanding or a better grasp of what the scriptures are teaching us about God. And they are there simply to encourage us that the Lord is not somebody who's far removed from our circumstance or situation, but one who is in control and one who has the power and ability to do the work which we cannot do. And praise God, He chooses to use those of us who are weak and those of us who, in and of ourselves, we can do nothing. You see, the Bible tells us in Psalm 136 and 12, "With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for His mercy endureth forever." That is how the Lord delivered His people at the Red Sea. He delivered His people out of the hand of Pharaoh in Egypt. And when we think of throughout church history, there's been many men and women that the Lord has used, many men and women in whom we could say the hand of the Lord was upon them. Men like Jim Elliot, C.T. Studd, Dr. Henry Cook, W.P. Nicholson, Dr. Paisley, women like Corrie ten Boom, Amy Carmichael, women like that as well, people who the Lord has used and who the Lord's hand was mightily upon them, and the Lord had wrought great things through their lives because they were not only saved, but they were filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, as Zechariah tells us in Zechariah 4 and 6, "Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I want you to notice secondly with me this morning, the people who accepted the preaching. The people who accepted the preaching. It tells us there in Acts 11 and 21, and a great number believed. And a great number believed. You see, at the commencement of the New Testament church, the disciples went first of all to the Jews. But that was not the Lord's will. Because the Lord tells us in Genesis chapter 12, and the verse 2 and 3, it tells us there that, and the Lord said to Abraham, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. Now notice the next few words. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now also in Psalm 72, verses 18 and 19, we read these words. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. So we see here as well the conversion that was experienced. Because it says there in the verse that they believed and turned unto the Lord. Now this word believed and turned, it signifies that the people to whom the disciples went and preached the word to, they were now trusting in Christ. Because they went forth with the gospel and preached Christ unto them. And as the hand of the Lord was upon them, the Lord blessed the preaching of his word. And because the Lord blessed his word, there was many, many people. We're not told how many, but there was many that turned unto the Lord. And this word turn could be translated another way to mean convert. And many people were converted unto Christ. And that was a change that the Holy Spirit had wrought in the lives of these people. Now, these people were Hellenistic Jews, and that simply means that they were Jews that spoke the Greek language. And they were people who came from Cyprus and Cyrene at that time. And these were people that heard the gospel preached simply and faithfully. And when the gospel was preached faithfully and clearly, the Spirit of the Lord was upon the preacher, but the Spirit of the Lord was upon his word. And that is what brought men and women and young people to saving faith in Christ. Now we must also notice here, what was the content of their preaching? Well, it was none other than the message of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. They preached Christ, plain and simple. And that is what God's servant seeks to do here week by week. That's what myself and my fellow students, we want to be able to present Christ more clearly and more honestly to you and to whoever we meet and have the opportunity to minister his word. When we think of Christ, when we think of his incarnation and his sinless life upon this earth, how he came under the will of his Father to come and to live under subjection of the law of God, and how he fulfilled the law of God. He lived that life of perfection that you or I could never live. But not only that, but he went to Calvary's cross, and there, as our substitute upon the cross, he offered up himself in that substitutionary atonement. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, and how he took my place and your place, dear Christian, this morning upon the cross, and how he bore the wrath of the Father upon the cross for our sin. Oh yes, he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. But now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, the whole day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. But not only did he go to the cross and was he mocked and he was crucified, but he died. He died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And he cried from the cross, it is finished. And praise God, we present to you a Christ today who finished the work of his Father, the one that came and paid the debt of his people's sin, the one who died for his people, and praise God, the one who 3 days later rose again. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. You know, C.H. Spurgeon said, the Spirit of God bears no witness to Christless sermons. Leave Jesus out of your preaching, and the Holy Spirit will never come upon you. Brother and sister, let that be in a wee word of challenge and a word of comfort to us as well. That no matter who we speak to, whether it's a young child in the children's meeting or someone in a Bible class or wherever it may be, that we bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we bring them to Christ and what Christ has done, the Spirit will bless, because the Spirit came to testify of Christ. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 14, the verse 26, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. Notice there he said, what I have said to you. Not what anybody else says, but what Christ has told his disciples. And also in the next chapter, chapter 15 of John's Gospel, he said in the verses 26 and 27, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, notice he says, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Here, brethren and sisters, again, we're brought to the very great need. The men and women need to be brought, boys and girls need to be brought to the Lord Jesus Christ, not to a church denomination, not to a preacher, but to the Christ of God. But it is Christ alone that can save. And praise God, Christ has saved my soul. And maybe, my dear friend, you're in the meeting this morning and you're not saved. Young boy or young girl in the meeting, perhaps you're not a Christian this morning. Well, praise God, we're still in the day of grace. We're still in the day of opportunity. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that is the only hope for you today, my dear friend, if you're not saved, it's Christ. And I would utter the words of the Apostle Paul this morning of Galatians 6 and 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Notice lastly with me this morning, please, the powerful change after the preaching. The powerful change after the preaching. It says there, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Notice here, it is the work of God. It's not a work of man, it is the work of God. Throughout the book of Acts, we read of not just ones and twos coming to Christ, but we read of thousands. Such was the power and the moving of the Spirit of God upon his servants, upon the preaching of his word. And here at Antioch, this is the record of how this church came into being. And we are told of how many. We don't know of a specific number, but we know that there was many converted. There was many brought onto saving faith in Christ. Now, this was Antioch of Syria. And we know that this was one of the main cities in the Roman Empire. It was a city of great wealth. It was a city known as the Queen of the East. But it was a city that had much immorality and much idolatry. And it was a city that was ripe for the judgment of God. But God used the persecution, the spreading out of his disciples, to go and to preach the gospel into Antioch. And the Lord came down in a mighty and powerful way. And oh, that the Lord would come down in a mighty and powerful way for yourselves here in this up-and-coming mission, in Enniskillen and Lisnaskee and Ballinamallard and all the places round about, that Fermanagh would be touched by the Spirit of God as the mission would come in a few weeks' time. You know, the Bible commentator John Gill said these words. He said, it was not owing to the force of moral persuasion in the ministers or to the power of free will of the people, but to the hand and power of the Lord. For the work of faith is not a work of man's will, but of Almighty God's power and grace. And when that is displayed, multitudes will believe in Christ for righteousness and life. And that word believed in our text simply means to think to be true, to put our confidence in, to be persuaded of absolutely. And my dear friend, I cannot persuade you this morning to come to Christ. Oh yes, I can warn you from the Bible this morning. As Christ said, you must repent and believe the gospel. But it's the work of the Spirit, because it is the work of the Spirit that causes... Well, you see, man cannot cause an anxious thought. And dear servant of God, we must remember as we're simply to go and to be faithful, to bring the word of Christ to them and let the Spirit do the work. You see, it's Christ that does the saving and it's the Spirit that does the convicting. And all we have to do, dear brethren and sisters, is to be faithful, to preach Christ. That is what sinners need. That's what I needed before I was saved. I needed to hear the word of God. And the Spirit of God came and applied the word of God to my heart and convicted me. And I think of that time and that mission many years ago when the Lord took that verse in John 8:36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." And I simply came and just came and bowed my head and repented and trusted in Christ. And praise the Lord, he saved me. And this is the change that the Spirit of God wrought in the people's lives, because faith and conversion are the works of the Spirit of God. And this is the wonderful work of the Spirit of God upon the life of a sinner. My dear fellow in the meeting, perhaps you're not saved. Well, my dear friend, it's only the work of the Spirit. You cannot save yourself. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ said in John's Gospel, chapter 6, and the verse 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." And my dear friend, perhaps you think, "Oh, I could never keep this salvation." Well, you're right, you couldn't. But praise God, Christ not only saves you, he will save you, but he will keep you, because he has sufficient grace to save and to keep you. You see, this church, this city of Antioch was known for its idol worship, but many had come under the sound of the preaching of the gospel and they were changed, they were saved, and they had turned from their idols to the living God. And that's what we're told in Luke Gospel chapter 1 and verse 16. "And many of the children of Israel shall return to the Lord their God." And just as there is a turning away from the things of this world, the idols of this world, the sins of this world, and a turning away from these things, but a turning on to God. You know, if you're somebody who does drill, maybe perhaps in the cadets, or even in my younger days when I was in the boys' brigade, and you talked about a 180 degree turn, well, you were going in one direction and you stopped and you go in the opposite direction. And that's what the Christian is to be doing. The Christian is to be going in the opposite direction to the world, because the world is going fast headlong down the road to hell. But praise God for the child of God, we're on the narrow road leading us to heaven and to home. And that's what we need again today. A great turning away from the things of this world, a great turning away from sin, and a turning onto God. And I trust and pray, brethren and sisters, that you'll have got something from the message this morning to encourage your own hearts, even as you would embark on this gospel mission in a few weeks' time. As God's servant labours here week by week among you, as her sister labours among the boys and girls, and as her brother goes down south to minister unto the people down there to preach the gospel, because that is what we need. And we've noticed this morning the power accompanying the preaching. Oh, how we need the power of God to attend the preaching of his word today. And we need the people to accept the preaching. We need people to come under the sound of the word of God, but also for the Spirit to come and to bring the message home to each and every heart. And that each and every one of us in here this morning, before we would leave the meeting, that we know that we're saved and we're right with God. But we also noticed this morning the powerful change after the preaching. You see, once the hand of the Lord is upon the preacher, the preaching of his word, there's no telling what can be done. Whether hundreds or thousands, nothing is too hard for the Lord, my dear friend. Are you praying for hundreds? Or how's your faith? Are you just expecting ones and twos to come in? Oh, may the Lord help by our unbelief. May he strengthen us. May he give us faith that we would see many come in, and not only come in as sinners coming into the meetings, but that the evangelist and the minister here would have the joy of seeing thousands won to Christ. There's nothing too hard for God, because we're serving the same God today that was at the start of the commencement of the work in Acts. Our God has not changed. He is the Lord our God, and he does not change. And we preach Christ, the same Christ, and it says of the Lord Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forevermore. Acts chapter 11, 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. God is able to do the same again today, brethren and sisters. And may he do it again for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us close our meeting in a word of prayer, please. Thank you for your attention. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word. We thank you, Lord, it is forever settled in heaven. Lord, it is that word that is a lamp unto your feet and a light to your path. And our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would take of thy word and prosper it, write it upon each and every one of our hearts. Lord, bless thy people. Lord, encourage them in this time of mission coming soon. Remember, Lord, those that serve thee. Bless every Christian, bless every home, we pray. And our Father, we pray that if there be any in our midst and they're not saved, or Lord, that they're backslidden, Lord, I pray that, Lord, they would get right with thee this very moment. For we thank you, Lord, that thou art a gracious and merciful God, abundantly able to pardon and to save. And Father, we do pray and ask these things in Jesus' precious name, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.